Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Obadiah. The book of Obadiah. It is a book in the Bible. It's right there if you need it in your content there. You can look at that table of contents. We got Amos, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. If you start in Matthew, work back. It's in the minor prophets there in the back towards the back of your Bible. Yes, sir. Obadiah, and we're going to be reading verses 2 through 9 responsively. I'll read the even verses. You'll read the odd verses out loud with me. Obadiah, there is no chapters. It's all one. There, Obadiah, verse number 2 through verses 9. All right, and I'll read the even verses. You'll read the odd verses out loud with me. And amen. You're turning your Bible. That's a great thing. Here we go. The Bible says, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All of the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Talmon, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." And I'll read a verse to you. This is Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah 49, verse number 16. The Bible says this, "Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord." And let's pray. God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to be in your house. And God, I don't want to take that for granted, the ability to be able to be here. And Lord, the health that you've given us, I thank you for our pastor being here this morning, being able to preach for us. Help our hearts to be open, Lord. Help our, Lord, you say if we're hungry and we're thirsty, that you'll fill us. And Lord, help us to come to you prepared, ready to receive what you have out of your word. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Lay treasures there in heaven, crowns are cast. Just call me Scooter, amen? I got it. Not coming from you. Praise the Lord, I got to get this thing adjusted, but I'll get there. Yeah, a little bit. That's just a hair too much. We'll get it figured out. First time for everything, amen? But it does make it a whole lot easier than crutches, for sure. None of us human. Brother Anthony, could you grab my water for me? Now let's start the sermon. None of us humans are as good or as strong as we think we are. If I've learned anything in the last 2 weeks after this accident with the ladder stand and things, shattering my heel, I've learned to be humbled a little bit. I didn't have time to prepare for it. I had about a second and a half. Do something quick, you know. It wasn't one of those, watch this, y'all, moments. It was, here it is. Sometimes it's thrust upon us. It's not what or when we wanted it, but sometimes you just have no choice. God tells us over and over and over and over in the Bible, we're sinners. God does not do that to rub our face in it. God does that to keep us humble, because he knows what sin will do to us if we don't. You see, God goes so far as to tell us, and I want you to notice in Obadiah verse 3, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. In Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 16, the Bible says that thy terribleness hath deceived thee and the pride of thine heart. We have to understand that our pride deceives our heart. And none of us are as good as we think we are. None of us, sin has caused our pride to ruin how we see and how we experience and how we feel about life. We really do have the mindset of Genesis chapter 3 that we can be our own God. We've really taken on us the ideal that because I'm sincere and because it's happening to me, that this is the way God wants it to be. No, God said you're a sinner. God said I'm a sinner. And we have to realize that we don't know what's best. God knows what is best. We have to believe that the devil, we happen to believe the devil's lie way too much. Well, preacher, this is how I see it. Don't care. What did God say? Amen. Doesn't matter how you see it. You need your glasses fixed. I really need your attention today. If God is to do the work that I have asked him to do in our church, it is that he does it in your life today. As you hear me preach this morning, I don't want you thinking about somebody else. I want you thinking about you. If you come away and, or while I'm preaching, you say, well, that reminds me of so-and-so, or that reminds, no, this is for you. I'm preaching to me today. I'm preaching to you. And for God to do the work that he must do, you must take this sermon personally. Say, preacher, are you preaching to me? Yes. You mean directly to me? Yes. Because this is the message that God has for us today. You see, I want you to let God speak directly to you. God says our pride deceives our heart. Our heart, the center of our emotions, our feelings, the center of not just our feelings, but even our intellect. God says that we are to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Now, wait a minute, our heart, those feelings. We live in such a touchy-feely world. Everybody wants to live by their emotions. Well, you offend me. Good, at least I know you're listening. I don't worry about offending people. I really don't. You say, well, you won't help them if you offend them. Well, my dad didn't care whether he offended me or not, but we sure got a lot done. Can you imagine if I would have looked at my father when I was a young boy or a teenager and said, well, Dad, that offends me. He wouldn't have cared what it was. That old dog died a long time ago. We live in such a world that's so afraid of truth. We have people that will vote for the wrong person this coming Tuesday, or have voted in early voting for the wrong person because they've been told to hate somebody. They don't care about the truth. All they care about is they've been told to hate somebody. How about we stand on truth? Stand on fact. One is so deceitful, she hasn't even said what she's going to do. And yet, there's tens of millions of people dumb enough to do it. I want to help you today. You need to listen to God today and not to yourself. I don't mean this in an arrogant way. You need to forget even what you've been taught your whole life and listen to God about today. Because you don't know what along the way you haven't heard right. But I do know this. It'll be very clear today. Number one. We are to obey the Bible and not trust our heart. Let me make that statement again. We are to obey the Bible and not trust our heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Many of you ought to turn there. Mark this verse. Might be the first verse this month that you ought to learn. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God said our heart is desperately wicked. It has deceived us. It's deceitful above all things. You know as much as I do, the easiest person in the world to lie to is yourself. You can convince yourself that wrong is right in a heartbeat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The heart is deceitful above all things. Now everybody look at me for a second, because I'm about to say something here that you're not going to like. That's why you should never follow your heart. That's a lie from the stinking devil himself. Well, just follow your heart. My heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Why would I want to follow it? Everybody doing okay? What do you mean, preacher? You shouldn't have feelings. I didn't say that, but I shouldn't follow my feelings. I ought to follow what is right, not my feelings. Amen. You see, Obadiah 1:3 said, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." Jeremiah 49:16, I believe, it says that thy terribleness in thy heart hath deceived thee. The terribleness of thine heart. Do you realize we're not as good as we think we are? How many of you ever had a feeling about something and later found out that feeling was wrong? Raise your hand. Yeah, your heart deceived you, didn't it? I'm fixing to preach real good and hard here, so I love you. Amen. Sin and the pride, because of our sin, deceives us into thinking that we can know or we can believe by our heart what is best. That is deceitful. Well, preacher, I just feel. I don't care. When I hit the ground 2 weeks ago, I felt something. I knew something broke. Brother Aaron says, oh, it's just sprained, preacher. No, it wasn't just sprained. He said, you're not acting like anything's broke. I said, I might not acting me like it, but it's broke, I'm telling you. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean, or whether you do feel it doesn't mean. The Holy Spirit and feelings don't work together. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together. So truth is more important than feeling. I love my wife, plain and simple. Been married 35 and a half years, not changing, amen? I'm afraid she'd get something better. now, wait a minute. I have no plans of changing that. We've been through good days. We've been through bad days. We've been through good times. We've been through hard times. It's humbling to ask my wife to help me with some things I've had to have help with recently. Man, I haven't had to have help putting a pair of britches on in an awful long time. I haven't had to have help getting socks on, but guess what? Some things you can't reach when you can't get there, amen? Whew. What a sad thing. It's humbling. But can I tell you something? I love her no matter what. Amen. Say why? Because I decided that a long time ago. I'm not changing my mind. It was based on truth. It doesn't change. We've both look a little different than we did. I know I weigh more than I did. She hasn't. She looks the same, just lighter hair, different color of light. Went from blonde to grandma gray, amen? You know what the difference between blonde and gray is, don't you? Gray has an excuse. now, I say that to say this. We can convince ourselves that because I'm sincere, because I believe it, that it's right. Just because you think you believe something doesn't mean it's right. The word deceived, it means led astray, seduced, beguiled. Oh, beguiled. Doesn't that remind you of a verse in Genesis chapter 3? When Satan came to Eve to beguile her. He deceived her. And he said, look, Eve, it's good fruit. It'll taste good. It looks good. Feel it. Notice all the feelings involved in Genesis chapter 3. Turn there with me real quick. So many times we think that the sin was the pride. No, the sin was following feelings, not truth. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, taste, eyes, that it was pleasant to the eyes, sight, and a tree desired to make one wise, intellect. It almost hurts to read. She took the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open. Now look at me. Adam wasn't on a different part of the Garden of Eden while she was being tempted. He was standing right next to his wife. She ate and said, boy, this is good. Adam, you need to have a bite of this. All over the deceitfulness of the heart, the eyes, the taste, the feel, the intellect. All those things are the deceivableness of our heart. That's what brought the pride to where we didn't listen to God. We'll listen to our feeling over God. Young people, listen to me. Just because they make your heart go pitter-patter doesn't mean it's the right one. Yes, divorce court's full of pretty people. Just because it excites you doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think it's something you would want doesn't mean it's right. our sin and our pride truly causes us to think that our heart is good. Can I tell you why? We want to be our own God. Well, preacher, I don't understand why good things happen to bad people, because everybody's a sinner. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Guess what? Nobody's as good. Now, I'm going to meddle. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. We're to make decisions based on God's word and truth, not how our heart thinks it should be. It's true with parenting. Did you know that no ought to be said more than yes? Especially in the early years. Before my oldest child was one, he had a shirt that said, "My name is No-No." I think that's the first word he ever said. No. Now, wait a minute. No is not a bad word. No is a protective word. Often. Well, I just feel so sorry. Quit worrying about your feelings. You never make a decision as a parent based on your feelings or your child's feelings. You make it based on right and wrong. Amen. There are some things I don't participate in. I'm going to share a talk I had recently. There's only one or two people in the room that know who this is, and it doesn't matter. And they're good with it, I promise you. But they're newer Christians. They're growing like everybody else. And there's churches all over the country that had Wednesday night after church, they had trunk or treat. And people would come with their kids all dressed up and go car to car and get candy as a replacement for Unholy Ween. Halloween's the devil's holiday. Why would I want to replace it? I don't want to create an appetite for someone that's unhealthy when I can't fulfill it rightly. What are they going to do? Say, well, that's a little extreme, preacher. I may be a little extreme, but I promise you one thing. Our kids get more candy every week here over the period of 52 weeks than they got going door to door. I'd rather them get it one week at a time at church than replace the devil's holiday for it. That's not a holiday I'd like to replace. I'd just like to get rid of it. Now, I'm not mad at anybody that participated. Please don't take that that way. Many of you have not heard me go off that trail, but there's a reason I don't say a whole lot about it, because most people can't handle it. Well, what are they going to? They'll be so disappointed. Look how much candy your kids had before and after Halloween. Are they really going to get this? You know, I give them a dum-dum every week. That alone is enough sugar for the year, amen? Just think through this for a second here. Just because the world has it doesn't make it right. Now, again, I'm not blaming you if you participated in it. Don't think preacher's against you. Let God work on your heart, tell you what to do. That's what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you why I don't promote things a certain way. Just because you call it a harvest party instead of Halloween doesn't change what it is. Sorry. Giving it calling it Christmas instead of Halloween wouldn't make it Christmas. Everybody doing okay? Just because you put another label on it doesn't make it right. Anyway, moving on. We're to make decisions based on truth and principle, not how we feel. That's true about being a grandparent, and I am one. My grandson, we were on FaceTime the other day, and he did something. I went, and my daughter said, "Hang on," and she put the phone on hold, and he found out what the wooden spoon was for. My wife said, "Oh," I said, "She better do it." She got back on. She said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I'm not. I'd be sorry if you didn't do it." She said, "Thanks, Dad." My wife has a more tender heart. She said, "Well, I just don't want to." She said, "That's why I put it on mute, Mom." She said, "I know how you are, but still needs done." I said, "Yes, it does." And by the way, I'm proud of her for that. Michael had the same thing just yesterday. He said, "Hang on." About 30 seconds later, he said, okay, we had to come to Jesus moment. Next thing I see is a little tear in the eye. He's like, oh, I thought, yep, that works. Got his attention. You see, it's not how I feel. It's what's right and wrong. We need to start making decisions based on right and wrong, on truth, not how somebody makes us feel. Not because we've been told to hate a certain candidate, we ought to vote on what they really stand for. Not because of what the news media or the educational world says we should believe, or what some union says we should do. We ought to have enough sense in our head to vote what is right and wrong. Listen to me very carefully. President Trump is not Jesus Christ. We're not voting on the next pastor. We're voting on a president. And choosing from the pool that's there, you make your decision. But at least one knows how to swim. We ought not base our relationships on how somebody makes us feel. There are people that are a little harder to get along with in life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guys like Scott, and Now, wait a minute. There are people that are more easily liked, but sometimes because they're easily liked doesn't mean they're right. There are preachers that are very suave and easy to listen to, but you better beware of their bad doctrine. There's a lot of guys out there that sound real good and sound real funny, and boy, I like these guys, preacher, and they're not even using the right Bible. Then why are we listening? Well, they sound so intelligent, and I'm learning so much, but if you're learning it from a wrong Bible, how much are you really learning? Decisions by principle, not your feelings. Decisions on truth, not how somebody else's feelings are going to be accepted. There's times you have to tell your kids, no. There's some things I believe young people ought to earn the right to have. I think time allows maturity to catch up. If they get too much too early, you'll burn them out. We have a perverted society because we're teaching children about the physical relationship long before they need to think about it. Said, when does a kid need to start thinking about it? About 14, 15, not 4. Amen. These perverts were telling my daughter and son-in-law that were taking class, they had to take classes for foster parenting. They were saying that nursing as a child is a sexual thing. That's what these perverts are teaching. Hello? That's what your government agencies are teaching people about foster care in children. They're about as perverted and filthy and vile as the devil himself. I'm here to shout. You don't have to worry about a 6 or 7 or an 8 or 9 or 10 year old. They still think each other has cooties. Quit thinking through it through an adult mind and realize that child didn't even know anything about what you're talking about. And the more attention you draw to it, the dumber you are. Amen. Allow them to be innocent. I believe every young person ought to reach the wedding altar a virgin, boys and girls. That's a word we ought to bring back. Everybody doing okay? Just thought I'd throw it out there. Number one, we're to obey the Bible and not trust our heart. Getting heavier. Number two, our pride does many things in its deception of our heart. I'm going to take the Bible and show you what God says. Let me show you what the pride of our heart does to us. Turn to Job 41. That's right before the book of Psalms. Literally. Job 41. Just a page or two before the book of Psalms. Job 41, verse number 15. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. Now look at me. God says our pride is like scales. Do you ever see the scales on a fish? They're kind of like your roof sideways. They're hard little pieces, I'll use the word like plastic almost. And they cover the skin of the fish, and they overlap one another. And that's their protection from predators. That's their protection as they swim through stones and gravel and different things so that it doesn't scrape their skin. It's a hardened shell. And God says that pride hardens our heart like scales would close over the skin on that fish. You don't realize how hard your heart really is. You do okay till preacher preaches on your sin. You do okay till I say something that you don't like. Then we'll find out we just peeled the scales off. Mm-hmm. You see, God says that our pride hardens. Oh, I can sit there and preach. I was preaching in Maine a couple weeks ago, and I had some teenage boy. He was causing just a little bit of ruckus, and before I hit the pulpit that Sunday morning, I said, "You better listen to me." He thought he had that cocky look. Well, the old man saw him the whole service. And guess what? The old man got up and got his attention. Had a big old Mainer walk up to me afterwards, and he said, Pastel, he said, "Appreciate you getting on them teenagers." He said, "As soon as you hit that pulpit and the tone of your voice," he said, "I don't know if you saw what he did." I said, "Yes, sir." He straightened up and hid behind the guy in front of him. I said, "But he kept his mouth shut the rest of the day, didn't he?" He said, "He sure did." He said, "I was getting up, getting ready to say something." He said, "I was glad you did because you saved me from getting up." I said, "I got it under control." He said, "I could tell that." Can I tell you something? There's a cockiness. There's a hardness about pride. Let me ask you a question. What do you put your scales up for? When the Lord wants to work on your heart. God says our pride ought to be broken. Psalm 10. Look at Psalm 10. Just a few pages over from where you were there. Psalm 10. Look at verse number 4. "Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seeth?" And I think I wrote the wrong verse down here. Hang on here. Could have been those drugs. 10:4. I'm in Job. No wonder. Maybe I need more drugs. I don't know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I knew that wasn't right. There it is. "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Pride affects your countenance. Parents, learn to read your children's countenance. Okay, I'm going to get down to where we live. When your kids do this, that's when you slap them upside the back of the head to get the eyeballs back on the right side. Oh, my soul. Amen, Brother James. My daughter found out real quick, you don't roll your eyes at Dad. She said, "Daddy, I've been teaching for 3 years now. Do you know how hard it is not to slap some kid in the back of the head when they roll their eyes at me?" I said, "Mm-hmm." I said, "I can't do it to somebody else's, but I could do it to 3. I can put up with a lot. One of our kids, if I got to correct them here at the school, they roll their eyes on me. You're going to watch the preacher come unscrewed. Now, I won't slap them in the head, but Mama and Daddy are going to find out they rolled their eyes at me. I've corrected somebody in church and watch it go, "Ooh, honey, I just got the coon up the tree. Oh! I'm not backing off there, baby. I'll shoot you out of the tree and then let the dog get sick you for the rest of it." Amen. Say why? Because pride causes a countenance change. There's a hardness. You start correcting a child, then they start doing this. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to break that.
Some
of you young people think you hide it. You're not as smart as you think you are. I got more sense in that little finger than you got in your whole head. I'm not kidding. I know when I've got somebody's heart when I'm correcting them. They harden their heart. Guess what? As my daddy would say, if you got a hard head, you're going to have a soft bottom. We're going to tenderize it. Pow! See, the harder you hit a mule, harder than you hit a puppy. And the more mule-headed you get, the harder the correction's going to be. You better learn how to back out of that thing. Better learn to get a hold of your emotions and take it. By the way, it's true at work. You'll know the people that got corrected. They're the ones that walk away from the boss's office and gripe and complain and start spewing negative about the company and the boss and everybody else. Just look at them. Hey, stupid, you're the one that did it. Shut your mouth. Everybody doing all right? Pride changes our countenance. Look at Psalm 59, now that I'm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 59, look at verse number 12. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Notice that pride and lying and a lot of talk go with it. Look at, boy, is that not true in politics? Look at Proverbs chapter 16 real quick. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit, notice the word haughty spirit, before a fall. You see, our pride causes us to be taken by the enemy and destroyed because he gets us talking on his side, not God's side. We're going against authority. We're going against truth. And the more we complain about authority, the more we complain about truth, the more destruction that will fall. Yes. Parents, the worst thing you can do is talk down authority and things in front of your kids. Yes. You just destroyed yourself in your own authority. Well, that stupid teacher, that stupid principal, amen. That preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, you just lifted yourself above everybody? Let me ask you a question. How many people have you educated? Before you open your mouth too far, really think about the statement you just said. Before you've been stuck in a classroom hour after hour after hour after hour, year after year after year, teaching, not just taking third grade that many times. Before you're foolish enough to open your mouth and say something that stupid, think. You see, pride causes us to think our kids will never do wrong. Why? That's part of growing up. Everybody doing okay? Look at Psalm 73. Told you I was going to put the pedal down. I can only smash it with my left foot, but I'm going to smash, amen? Psalm 73, look at verse number 6 with me. Psalm 73, 6. Therefore, pride compasseth them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Look at me very carefully here. I'm going to say something I hope hits home. Pride and violence go together. It says it binds like a chain. I wished I could wander around the platform right now. My foot's itching to move. Can I tell you something? Think of all the violence people play on video games. I can tell you how high your pride level is. Get rid of every violent video game in your home and let's see what God's like after 30 days. Let's see how the attitude of your children change and your own attitude. You're so bound to it like a chain. You've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on it. And, well, I'm okay. No, you're not. You're bound to it. You're imprisoned by it and don't even know it. Violence and pride go together. Look at the most violent people in our country. They're those that are protesting the law. Everybody doing okay? It's not the law keepers that are turning cars over and destroying cities. It's BLM. It's not the far right, it's the far left. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to read two more verses and then I'll hit the next point. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. God said, our pride causes contention. The word contention there, listen to me, it's the word competition. Matter of fact, it's even a little bit stronger of a word. It often means heated competition. There's too many husbands and wives in competition with one another. That's why you don't get along. That's why you fuss and feud. You're competing. Well, I want my way. Well, no, I want my way. No, I want my way. How about we quit having contention? Pride causes that. Same is true with children. You know, children have a right to say some things in the right venue, the right way. Doesn't mean that you're going to cowtail to it, but they have right to an opinion and then teach them where it's wrong. Yes. Many times when my kids were teenagers, said, but Dad, everybody's doing it. I said, doesn't matter. We don't have the wherewithal and we're not doing that. But all you want, but when you're rearing your own kids, you can go do it. But until then, no. Yes. Well, why? Here's why. Oh, I didn't see it that way. Yeah, you didn't, but I do. And they weren't challenging me. They truly wanted to know. I'm for answering the whys. But it didn't change the answer. No was still no. You can tell me all you want how you disagree with God and the Bible on something. But when destruction comes, you can't blame God. Well, preacher, I don't see it that way. I don't care if you see it that way. But when somebody messes up, somebody does something wrong, don't blame the preacher and don't blame God. So, well, preacher, you're too strict. I may be, but that's the only chance we have. You need to learn to listen to the Bible and God's man that we really do know the truths about living. Number three, and I will hurry. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to. The pride of your heart will force God to break you. The pride of your heart will force God to break you. Obadiah 4 says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thyself in thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring you down, saith the Lord. He said, you lift yourself up like you're the majestic eagle. You set yourself up like nobody can reach you. God said, I'm higher than you are. My thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. And I will bring you down. God has to. I'm going to read a verse to you. You need not turn there. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23 says this. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Notice the Bible says a man's pride shall bring him low. It doesn't say that he does it on his own. If we humble ourselves, it's the word submit, then he doesn't have to force us. Now, I don't know about you. I remember a few times in my life, my dad would say, you got a choice. Either you do it or I whip you and you do it. I don't care which way. You choose, with or without the whipping. I'd been whipped enough, I chose without. You say, why, preacher? Wisdom. Amen. If I got to do it, why hurt to do it? What's that called? Humbling ourselves. Submitting ourselves. When somebody gets a horse, you have to break the horse. You're breaking its will to be wild and do what it wants and listen to the rider or the owner. And the breaking of the horse, you're not physically breaking its bones. You're breaking its will to listen, to want to listen. Now, there's two ways to do it. Actually, there's several ways. But one way involves a cowboy jumping up on his back and going for the ride of his life and hold on a bit longer than that horse can kick. It's not enjoyable for anybody. Can I tell you what? That's the way the average Christian is about God. You're like that bucking bronco, and you're trying to kick God off your back. You can also meek a horse. You can do it in a gentler way. They call it gentling or meeking a horse. And you can make them want to follow you. But either way, you got to break it for it to be usable. You have to break the will. By the way, you want your children used? They have to have their will broke. I didn't say you break them in pieces, but you break their will to where they learn to listen to all authority, not just your own. God does not want to cowboy us and to break us, but if we won't listen to him, he will. And let me tell you something, he's broken everyone he's got on. He's got a 100% record. By the way, this is true about salvation. Until you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, broken, you can't get saved. A person has to know they're a sinner. Well, everybody's going to go to heaven. No, they're not. Everybody's going to die and go to hell if they're not saved. Well, that offends people when you preach on hell, preacher. Good. It's in the Bible. It's truth. If they're offended, at least they're listening. The same is true with God's will for our life. He's not going to force you to do anything. God never comes down, grabs you by the back of the head, and pushes you down into the dirt and say, you have to obey me. Now, there's times it sure would be a whole lot easier if he did. But he wants us to break ourselves. He wants us to be gentled, that we choose to follow. Jesus walked by the disciples before they were his disciples and said, fellas, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Can you imagine a young man that age walking by saying, quit your job and follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for men? That's what Jesus was. Men left their businesses. And they said, something's different about that guy. I got to get it. They turned the world upside down. They made a lot of mistakes along the way, but they got it right eventually. We need to change today. We need to take our heart and our feelings out of every decision we must make. Did you hear what I said? We need to take our heart and our feelings out of every decision we make. I didn't say don't feel things. I said don't use your feelings to make your decision. I love my grandson. I'm going to spoil him rotten. But I'm not going to let him do wrong. Say, well, if they come and visit and he does wrong, what are you going to do? Crack him? Or give him to his parents to crack him? Say, why? Because that's what's needed. Is it what I want? No. But it's what's best years down the road. Some of us are so short-sighted just because we see it right now. This is how we feel. But after the emotion's over, let's get to reality. We need to let the Bible and truth and principles guide us, not the deceitfulness of our heart. So, God says we have to break ourselves. Maybe I said it, maybe I was on a different topic, but you know what the Lord wants to break your heart on. What is the chain that you're chained to with your pride? What sin are you chained to that you can't give up because of the pride of your heart? Maybe God wants you to get it right today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Do you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Most every hand, thank you. You may put them down. What are we chained to? Let's not let our hearts deceive us anymore. It's desperately wicked. Let's live our lives based on the Word of God. Truth, principle, right and wrong. But preacher, it seems so harsh. No, it's a wonderful way to live. And you'll enjoy your emotions even more as you do right.